We are continuing our study in the Sermon on the Mount in Matthew 5, and we're now coming to verses 14 through 16, where Jesus tells us ye are the light of the world. You know, light is a fascinating thing. No matter how dark a room is or a cave, if you let a little light enter, you have light, regardless of the darkness. Darkness always seems so overpowering, but when just a spark enters a dark place like that, your vision is brightened. Now, of course, we're not talking about something such as fog or smoke, but just darkness. We just went on holiday down to the West Country, down to St. Ives in Cornwall. And after putting the kids to bed in the tent, I enjoyed sitting by the campfire and looking up at the stars in the sky because there was so little light pollution from mankind. There was no towns around with their bright light shining to obscure all the stars in the sky. And I could actually see the white streak of the Milky Way because of all the stars that were in the sky. I have the feeling that if the moon was out, I would have seen less stars because that greater light would have obscured those smaller lights. The fewer the sources of light in a dark place, the brighter those lights seem. It is truly amazing if you've ever been in a cave and the cave has twisted around so that you can no longer see the entrance. It becomes so dark that you can't see the hand in front of your face. Unless, of course, you have a torch. But as soon as you turn that torch on, everything brightens up. You're able to see things that you wouldn't normally see. And then when you walk back out of the cave, if it's a sunny day, the sun is so bright that even if you have sunglasses on, you're squinting because of the brightness of that light. We humans adjust to the lights that are around us. That's what we do. That's what our eyes are made to do. Your pupils contract and dilate depending upon the light that's in your area. And these ideas about light are important as we look at this scripture tonight, where Jesus says, "You are the light of the world. A city that is set on a hill cannot be hid. Neither do men light a candle and put it under a bushel, but on a candlestick, and it giveth light unto all that are in the house. Let your light so shine before men, that they may see your good works, and glorify your Father, which is in heaven." Now, as we approach these words, we have to consider who Jesus is speaking to. Who is this communication meant for? He says, "Ye are the light of the world." Who is the ye? Well, as we've gone through the Beatitudes and looked at each of these sayings, blessed are the poor in spirit, blessed are they that mourn, blessed are the meek, in examining them, you come to the conclusion that he is speaking about someone that is already a Christian, someone that is a believer, someone that has been born again, because these characteristics are not natural characteristics. They are spiritual characteristics and can only happen in someone that has life from the Spirit of God. And so that's the context that he's speaking about. When he says, "Ye are the light of the world," he's speaking to believers. He's speaking to Christians. He's painting that portrait in those Beatitudes of what a Christian is, what a Christian looks like. And then the question becomes, does the portrait look like you? Do these things that he says, blessed are the merciful, blessed are the pure in heart, blessed are the peacemakers, blessed are they which do hunger and thirst after righteousness, does that portrait reflect you? If you were painting a portrait, a self-portrait, would you paint it in that way? Does it reflect who you are? That's the question that you have to ask yourself when Jesus is speaking about ye are the light of the world. And then the statement are. Now, this is a very important word. It doesn't seem like it at first blush, but it's a very important word because it's a current situation. It's not a future situation or a past situation. It's a current situation. If you are a Christian, if you are a believer, that little word means that you are currently light in some form or another. You are light. You have a light that you are reflecting of Jesus Christ. And we're going to get into what that means in a little while. But if you're living the life of a Christian and those Beatitudes reflect who you are, then you are light where you are because of that word. Not you will be light, not you have been light, but you are the light of the world. And then again comes to the word "the." And again, I think my wife has chuckled when I said we're going to look at the word "the." But that's a very important word in the structure of this sentence. Ye are the light of the world. That "the" makes it a singular situation, meaning that Christians are the light. He didn't say Christians are a light, or Christians are one of the lights of the world. He said Christians, ye, are the light of the world. That means that Christians are it. There is no other light. He didn't say it in such a way that allows us to say something else will give light unto the world. And it's going to go back to the definition of what light is. That's important for us to consider. But it's the situation that "the" puts responsibility on Christians. If Christians are the light of the world, and the world is lying in darkness, well, where does the responsibility lie? It lies on the responsibility on the shoulders of Christians, because they may not have been acting and living as the Beatitudes say they should. If Christians are more distracted by other things, distracted by the world, distracted by trying to enforce laws or make new laws or get laws repealed, or certain causes that are not the gospel of Jesus Christ, are they truly acting as light? Well, I would say they're not. They're not doing the things that Jesus has commanded his disciples to do, then they're not being the light of the world. They're not shining in those dark places. You know, it's fascinating if you have a debate with someone and you debate something that you would be opposed to, and maybe you convince them. Maybe you convince them of that one thing. Well, you haven't changed them. You've changed their morals, but you haven't changed their heart. You may have changed that one aspect of their morals, but nothing else in their life has changed. But when the Spirit of God changes a heart, it's a new creation. They're a new creature. They think differently. They act differently. And that's how Christians act as light, by sharing that gospel of Jesus Christ, so that hearts are changed. You know, the society over the course of the centuries has constantly tried to focus on something for man to come to some type of enlightenment. It's fascinating that they use the word enlightenment with that light involved in it, that somehow through our own knowledge we're going to brighten the world. Well, Jesus is saying here that doesn't work. He says, ye are the light of the world. Not knowledge, not science, not these other things. He says, ye are the light of the world. Now we either have to believe what he says or throw it out. But that's what he says. There's no debate there. So when you think about these other things, are they valuable? Well, they might be. But it doesn't change the heart of man. It doesn't change how man will behave. It doesn't improve who he is. We saw that in the 20th century, after the Enlightenment of the 1800s, in the 20th century, it was the bloodiest century of mankind. Enlightenment did not have an enlightening effect on man. He was worse off than he had started with. Why? Because Christians were too worried about defending apologetically certain things instead of focusing on the gospel of Jesus Christ and souls being saved. So we come to the word light. Ye are the light of the world. How are you light? Well, Jesus is the source of that light. You know, the idea of the moon that I was speaking about when we were in Cornwall, of that moon shining in the sky if it had been there and obscuring the stars to some degree. Where does the moon get its light? It's not its own source of light. It reflects the light of the sun. It reflects it down to the earth. And that's exactly what Jesus calls Christians to be. Why? Because as we read in the scripture reading, Jesus is the light of the world. God sent him as the light, as the main light. In John chapter 3, verses 19 to 20, it says, "And this is the condemnation, that light is come into the world, and men love darkness rather than light, because their deeds were evil. For everyone that doeth evil hateth the light, neither cometh to the light, lest his deeds should be reproved." That's the state of the world. They hate the light, and they love darkness, but who is that light? It's Jesus Christ. In John chapter 8, he says, "Then Jesus spake again unto them, saying, I am the light of the world. He that followeth me shall not walk in darkness, but shall have the light of life." That's much different than the enlightenment idea. In John 12, he says, Jesus cried and said, He that believeth on me, believeth not on me, but on him that sent me. And he that seeth me, seeth him that sent me. I am come a light into the world, that whosoever believeth on me should not abide in darkness. So he is the ultimate light. He is the light giver. That's the way it has been since the world was created. He is that light. And you say, well, how does it work to reflect? Well, in Exodus chapter 34, we have the example of Moses. Exodus 34, verses 29 through 35. And it came to pass, when Moses came down from Mount Sinai, with the two tables of testimony in Moses' hand, when he came down from the mount, that Moses wist not that the skin of his face shone while he talked with him. And when Aaron and all the children of Israel saw Moses, behold, the skin of his face shone, and they were afraid to come nigh him. And Moses called unto them, and Aaron and all the rulers of the congregation returned unto him, and Moses talked with them. And afterward, all the children of Israel came nigh, and he gave them in commandment all that the Lord had spoken with him in Mount Sinai. And till Moses had done speaking with them, he put a veil on his face. But when Moses went in before the Lord to speak with him, he took the veil off until he came out. And he came out and spake unto the children of Israel that which he was commanded. And the children of Israel saw the face of Moses, that the skin of Moses' face shone. And Moses put the veil upon his face again until he went in to speak with him. See, Moses had been before the Lord, before the glory of the Lord. And when he came out to speak with the people, his face shined with the reflected glory of God. You know, it's always fascinating to see medieval art. And they paint the face, the head of folks that they would call saints. And it's got basically a golden circle around it, because they feel that somehow or other they're glowing. That's their idea of what Moses experienced. That Moses was reflecting the glory of God. Well, although the art really doesn't follow true to form, it really wasn't done very well in that sense, the concept is right. Christians, as little Christ, what the word means, little anointed ones, should reflect the glory of God, should reflect their Savior. Light should shine from them. And that's exactly what Jesus is saying here. If we're reflecting that light, it's what Paul tells us in Philippians chapter 2. Let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus, who, being in the form of God, thought it not robbery to be equal with God, but made himself of no reputation, and took upon him the form of a servant, and was made in the likeness of men. And being found in fashion as a man, he humbled himself, and became obedient unto death, even the death of the cross. Wherefore God also hath highly exalted him, and given him a name which is above every name, that at the name of Jesus every knee should bow, of things in heaven, of things in earth, and things under the earth, and that every tongue should confess that Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory of God the Father. Wherefore, my beloved, as ye have always obeyed, not as in my presence only, but now much more in my absence, work out your own salvation with fear and trembling. For it is God which worketh in you both to will and to do of his good pleasure. Do all things without murmurings and disputings, that ye may be blameless and harmless, the sons of God, without rebuke, in the midst of a crooked and perverse nation, among whom ye shine as lights in the world, holding forth the word of life, that I may rejoice in the day of Christ, that I have not run in vain, neither labored in vain. Yea, and if I be offered upon the sacrifice and service of your faith, I joy and rejoice with you all. For the same cause also do ye joy and rejoice with me. Elijah, stop. Paul is saying here that Christ humbled himself. Humbled himself and became a man. He thought it not robbery to be equal with God. That's the sense that he recognized who he was. He is God. And he came down and bowed himself as a man. And humbled himself to the point to the death of the cross. And that we should have that same mind. And by putting away murmurings, disputings, and being blameless and harmless, we shine as lights in the world, even as Jesus Christ shined. We're reflecting that glory. We're just like Moses reflected the glory of God. Christians reflect the glory of Jesus Christ. They're a name unto him. Don't start it again, Elijah. Don't start it again. You know, in John chapter 14 through chapter 16, Jesus is teaching that those that believe in him, upon him, are in him, just as he is in the Father, that they abide in him, and they'll do greater works than he does. How is it possible for a Christian to do a greater work than Jesus Christ? They're speaking forth that which they haven't seen. They're shining as lights in a world of darkness. That's the sense that Jesus Christ is talking about. That he will send the Holy Spirit to be their comforter and their strengthener, and to teach them and to guide them. And he leaves Christians in this world. It always fascinated me when I was a young Christian as to why Jesus doesn't say, well, okay, you're a Christian, now I'm going to take you to heaven. He leaves Christians in this world to shine as lights, to lighten that darkness. And that's a key part of what Jesus says. Ye are the light of the world. He wants us to be in the world, but not of the world. You know, that's the world is in darkness. That's not deniable by the scriptures. Matthew 4 says, the people which sat in darkness saw great light. And to them which sat in the region and shadow of death, light is sprung up. And then again, back in John chapter 3, he says, he that believeth on him is not condemned, but he that believeth not is condemned already, because he hath not believed in the name of the only begotten Son of God. And this is the condemnation, that light is come into the world, and men love darkness rather than light, because their deeds were evil. For everyone that doeth evil hateth the light, neither cometh to the light, lest his deeds should be reproved. Jesus came as that light, and people love darkness rather than that light. That's the state of the world. They don't want to have their deeds reproved. They don't want to be told that something is wrong, no matter what the situation is. I know as a young person, I never wanted my parents to tell me that I was wrong, that I had done something that I shouldn't have done. And my boys reflect that same attitude even today, even at this current moment. They don't want to be told that's wrong. It goes against our nature, our human nature. We want to be always in the right. But the scripture says we're always in the wrong. That we love darkness rather than light. That's the state of the world. And even in Ephesians chapter 2, where he's speaking to Christians, he says, you hath he quickened, who were dead in trespasses and sins. That's where Christians were. But for the grace of God, he's pulled them out of that. And they walk in light, not in darkness. In Romans chapter 1, it says, for the wrath of God is revealed from heaven against all ungodliness and unrighteousness of men, who hold the truth in unrighteousness. Because that which may be known of God is manifest in them, for God hath showed it unto them. For the invisible things of him from the creation of the world are clearly seen, being understood by the things that are made, even his eternal power and Godhead, so that they are without excuse. Because that when they knew God, they glorified him not as God, neither were thankful, but became vain in their imaginations, and their foolish heart was darkened. Professing themselves to be wise, they became fools, and changed the glory of the uncorruptible God into an image made like to corruptible man, and to birds and four-footed beasts and creeping things. Wherefore God also gave them up to uncleanness through the lusts of their own hearts, to dishonor their own bodies between themselves, who changed the truth of God into a lie, and worshipped and served the creature more than the Creator, who is blessed forever. Amen. The world constantly wants to pull God down and not glorify him as God. Why? Because they don't want the light shining in their darkness. That's not our desire. That's not what we want. We want to live as we're, and let be, just as we always have. That's the motto, it seems, of Americans. Just go about your business and don't worry about anybody else. And we'll be all right. It's this view that we're smarter than God. That we've got it figured out. And God is the God of an ancient people and has no relevance to today. That's not what Jesus is saying. He says, ye are the light of the world. Shine in that darkness. Shine where you are. You know, the view of that light is different. To the world, Christianity is foolishness. It's rubbish. They have no desire for it. In 1 Corinthians 1, it says, for the preaching of the cross is to them that perish foolishness, but unto us that which are saved, it is the power of God. And that's the idea. That's the idea that the world has. It's foolishness. You know, a while back we camped in a place and came across this man, and he was such a nice man, such a nice family. He helped us set up our tent, which we were setting up for the first time. I had great conversations with him. But he was an atheist. And he was proud that he was an atheist. He had no concept of God, didn't want to have anything to do with God. He thought we were foolish for having something to do with God. That's the mindset of the world. They think that it's foolishness to believe these things. But these are the things of God, and it's not deniable what Jesus says. Ye are the light of the world. If the world's in darkness, we are the light of it if you're a believer. So what does that mean? We ought to be shining better. Look at what he says. A city that is set on a hill cannot be hid. Well, why on a hill? You know, nowadays we may have lost the idea of why a city would be set on a hill. Sometimes we're driving down the road and we wonder, is there an ancient city on that hill? Or an ancient castle set on a hill? You know, we think of castles on hills, but not necessarily cities. It used to be that cities were set on hills for defensive reasons. That the best way to defend is from above, not from below. So they would set it, they would choose that spot, not because there was water close by, not because there was good soil. They would choose it specifically because it was on a hill. You know, it's fascinating when you think about references in Scripture to Jerusalem. Do you ever notice that Jesus is always going up to Jerusalem? You know, when we think of up, I'm going north, I'm going up, I'm going down to London. It was always up to Jerusalem because Jerusalem was set on a hill. That's where that phrase comes from. It's a city set on a hill. It later got walls to help its defensible position. But the first defensible thing to do for a city was to set it upon a hill. Now, if you've ever been driving through an area that had very few towns, if you've ever driven through Kansas in the United States, you know what I mean. And you see a city or even a small town that is set on a hill, at nighttime, you can see that place from miles and miles and miles away because of the glow of that city. Well, it's no different in Christ's day. The lamps that were lit, the watchtowers that they had, you can see that city from afar. There was no way that you could hide it. That's what Jesus is saying a Christian ought to be. A city that is set on a hill. If you are living as light, if you are living the Beatitudes, there is no way for you to hide what you are. It shouldn't be possible. You know, when I was growing up, I lived in Pennsylvania, just north of Philadelphia. And there were a number of times that my mother took us to New York City. And one of the fascinating things about going to New York City was as soon as we crossed the river into New Jersey and got on the motorway, we were still 2 hours from New York City. But we could see it. Not only could we see the light from it, we could actually see the World Trade Center from where we were, 2 hours away. It was fascinating because we could just watch and see those buildings go from being this big and getting bigger and bigger as we came. That's the idea here. You can't miss it. You can't miss what's there. And Jesus is saying that about Christians. You are the light of the world. A city that is set on a hill cannot be hid. It will be viewable that you are a believer. And that's why those Beatitudes are so important. Does that portrait look like you? Are you poor in spirit? Do you mourn over your sin? Over the sins of others? Are you meek? Do you hunger and thirst after righteousness? Are you merciful? Especially when you see sin in others. You know, that's a fascinating thing today about so many Christians, that the people that claim to be Christians in the world. They're not merciful. It's fine to call sin sin. But there's a lack of mercy. There's a lack of understanding that Jesus Christ was merciful to them in saving them from their sin. And they don't display that mercy to others. But that's what he calls us to be. Merciful. Are you pure in heart? Have you been purified by the blood of Christ? Are you a peacemaker, constantly proclaiming the gospel to those that are around you? That's the portrait that Jesus is saying are lights of the world. That's how they're lights of the world. By being those things. By that character shining out. You know, it's fascinating. He doesn't stop there, does he? He says, you are the light of the world. A city that is set on a hill cannot be hid. Neither do men light a candle and put it under a bushel, but on a candlestick. And it giveth light unto all that are in the house. That seems silly. A silly idea, doesn't it? That you would light something, light a candle, and then hide it from everybody. So that no one could see the light. That's a foolish concept. Why would anyone want to hide their light? Why would a Christian want to hide their light? You know, there was times when I was a young Christian that I wanted to, because I had made friends, and I didn't want people to think ill of me. And I didn't tell them the things that I should have told them. That happens, and it's unfortunate. The other question they ask is, why would anyone allow their light to be hidden? Why would someone allow someone else to hide their light, to be hidden as a Christian, so that someone else wouldn't know? No, he wants us to shine as lights, to lighten that darkness. So how are you sure that your candle is not under a bushel, is not hidden by something? Well, 2 Corinthians 4 says, but if our gospel is hid, it is hid to them that are lost, in whom the God of this world hath blinded the minds of them that which believe not, lest the light of the glorious gospel of Christ, who is the image of God, should shine unto them. For we preach not ourselves, but Christ Jesus the Lord, and ourselves your servants for Jesus' sake. For God, who commanded the light to shine out of darkness, hath shined in our hearts to give the light of the knowledge of the glory of God in the face of Jesus Christ. But we have this treasure in earthen vessels, that the excellency of the power may be of God, and not of us. We are troubled on every side, yet not distressed. We are perplexed, but not in despair, persecuted, but not forsaken, cast down, but not destroyed. And this is the key, always bearing about in the body the dying of the Lord Jesus, that the life also of Jesus might be made manifest in our body. For we which live are always delivered unto death for Jesus' sake, that the life also of Jesus might be made manifest in our mortal flesh. How do you shine as a light in the world as a Christian? Always carrying about in the body the death of the Lord Jesus Christ. Always having that as your focus, that you have been redeemed, that Jesus has paid for you by his blood. And if that is in your focus as you go out into the world, you'll be meek. You'll be poor in spirit. You'll mourn over your sin. You'll mourn over the sins of others. You'll hunger and thirst after righteousness. You'll take opportunities to share the gospel. You'll be that light in the world. You know, it's fascinating. The portion of scripture that we're talking about here, Jesus is talking about Christians as light. Just before that, he talked about them as being salt. Well, what's the purpose of salt? It's to preserve things, to preserve meat. That was the number one function in the ancient world, was to preserve meat, to stop it from spoiling. And that's a way that Christians should function in their communities, in their societies around the world, to preserve meat, to preserve the society, to stop it from decaying, to stop it going down paths it shouldn't go down. But then light acts differently than salt, doesn't it? Jesus is giving us another glimpse into what a Christian ought to be. Yes, there's a preserving nature to Christians, but they should also shine forth. You know, salt is only good where you place it. It's only good on that section of a wound or the section of meat that you put it on. It doesn't do for something that's 2 feet away or 5 feet away or down the street. But light is different than that. Light shines out. Light points a path. It acts differently than salt. A Christian should have a greater effect as light than they do as salt. Why? Because they're proclaiming the gospel. They're sharing the light that has been shined on them with others. They should point the way. That's the fascinating thing about a light. It always shines the way on something. It always lights the darkness. If it's a pitch black night and you can't see where you're going, but you have a torch, well, it shines where you're going. It's a light unto your path. That's what lights as Christians should be. They should be a path. And it should be an attractive path. Not something that the world looks at and says, they're just odd. It should be something that says, they're different. They're special. They go through life differently than I do. They have a source of comfort that I don't have. They have a source of strength that I don't have. And it should be something that's attractive to the world when that light shines. And then, of course, at the end, who gets the glory? Let your light so shine before men that they may see your good works and glorify your Father, which is in heaven. See, that's the interesting thing about good works. People are always constantly wanting to see good works. Most people in the world think of that's their method of salvation, by doing enough good works that they'll be all right. And my family, who none of them are Christians, will tell you that that's how they see Christians. They're just the goody two-shoes. That's how they would say it. That they're looking at the good works, that we're trying to claim something. No, that's not the way good works ought to be. It ought to be reflecting the glory of God. people ought to glorify God because of what we do. It shouldn't be bringing honor and glory to self. And Christians miss that so often. They miss the idea that what we do, who we are, shouldn't say, oh, you know what, that Chuck, he's a great guy. No, he's boy, that Chuck, he really serves God. He really works for God. That's the way it ought to be. That light, that glory that is shined on us because of those good works should be reflected back to God. We should be acting just like that moon acts, just like any other reflection acts. If the light from the sun shines on the moon, it reflects back. But do you know when you look up at the sky and you only see a quarter moon, does that mean that you can't see the rest of the moon? No, when you look there, that the outline is still there. You can still see it in the sky. It's not shining brightly like the rest of it, but it's still there, isn't it? Because there's light reflecting from the stars and from other sources, and it still shows up a little bit. It still shows up a little bit, and that's the way our light should be. That's the way our lives should be. God should get glory from us. Now, it's nothing in comparison to His own glory, but nonetheless, we should be that reflector. We reflect God's glory to people, and we reflect God's glory back to Him because of what He's done in our lives. Let your light so shine before men that they may see your good works and glorify your Father which is in heaven. So, of course, this raises questions. Number one is, are you a Christian? Have you been born again? Do you have a desire for Christ? Do you have a desire for the things of God? Do the Beatitudes reflect your portrait, reflect who you are? And if so, do you reflect Jesus in your life? Or have you done something to hide that light, to obscure it so that people don't see it? Do others see the light that you shine? And when you do shine, do you shine for the gospel? And do you shine for the glory of God in what you do, in what you say, in how you behave? And with those questions, we point you to Jesus Christ. Seek Him. It's only through His death on the cross that light is possible. It's only through His work that we can shine. And it's only through His work on the cross that you can be a Christian. There is nothing in ourselves that can do it. No good works are possible to make us a Christian. Jesus Christ said, I am the truth. I am the way. I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me. It's Him and Him alone. That rules out all other possibilities. And so we point you to Him tonight.